If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you're missing out. Not only do they taste great, but Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beets Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than as a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you want. And if you love Super Beets Chews, you'll love their all-new, delicious vitamin D3 chews. Vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. Now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beets chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beets chews at danasbeets.com. That's danasbeets.com. danasbeets.com.
So, did you hear the new one? I was waiting for this. So they find this horrible, horrible laptop of Hunter. Where's Hunter? Where's Hunter? But Joe is far more corrupt than Hunter, because Joe knew every. Joe's getting a piece of everything. They have it in the email, 10% and 50%. But Joe is far more corrupt than Hunter.
Well, where's the lie? Just waiting for, where's the lie? Welcome to the show. My gosh, you guys. Oh, just crazy. We are 2 weeks out from, I don't know what the hell is going to happen. I don't. We're going to go over some of the polling today, and we're going to start doing the daily. Maybe daily, because I don't want you to freak out, and I don't want you to get your hopes up, and I don't want you to think that I'm not going to media you. So, you know, we're going to talk about things that may be something that you should consider seriously or take into, you know, or maybe you need further context. So anyway, we're going to get into all of that. Welcome to the show. I am Dana Lash, though, and it's good to be with you. And a lot, as I said, to jump in, because we have the debate Thursday, the SCOTUS vote Thursday. The president is having 5 rallies a day. 5 rallies a day. I don't know how he's doing this.
Biden doesn't even have 5 conversations a day.
I just feel like I need to say this again. 5 rallies a day. I've never sounded more like him in my head than I did just then, right? DanaLash.com. And do we have a new Halloween one?
We have a Halloween one. We have a movie trailer one, but you want to do the Halloween one?
Whoa, hold up. Well, we'll do the Halloween one at the bottom of the segment.
Okay.
At the bottom of the segment.
Got it.
Because I want to get into the meat and taties. We got some meals for you. You guys ready for it? I'm going to be like how I do with my pups. Is everyone some treats? So, yeah, we got meat and taties for everybody. This is Let me start it off with it. The president's going to be doing rallies, 5 rallies a day from here on out, apparently. And I'm going to serve you up a hot mess of ridiculous media headlines. And then we're going to talk about the actual context and reality of said headlines. OK, and then I'm also going to be looking at a lot of this polling, too. We also are going to talk about the New York Times trying to bail out Hunter Biden. OK, I'm not going to make it through without saying this. So yesterday, right? I ended up, I don't know what I was looking for. I'm trying to like at least take one day off from not watching cable news. And I ended up on cable news. And in my defense, it was like I was in the guide section and I was changing the table or changing the channel. So I wasn't actually watching it. It was the thing that came on, right? So I'm going through the channels and Tim Ryan's on. Big old Demi. He's on. And I heard him verbatim say the phrase, "They're just picking on this poor kid." And he was talking about Hunter Biden. "They're just picking on this poor kid." What?
Kid?
He's 50. He's 50 years old. 50. He's 50. He has lived longer than all of us. How is he a kid? He's like old enough to be a grandparent. How is he a kid? He's 50. Can we stop this garbage? That's like the narrative. Oh, this poor kid. He's a 50-year-old crackhead, ladies and gentlemen. That's who he is. And it's not partisanship that's doing this. It's the result of his own life choices. I almost fell out when I heard him say that. And then I began immediately doing what I always do. I'm a joy to go to movies with back before the lockdown because I will talk back to the screen. These people can hear me, right? I just, if I say, girl, look out, then she will, right? And she won't get killed by the serial killer. We all know this. But it is, though. So I'm immediately arguing with Tim Ryan. My son's like, who are you talking to? I'm like, Tim Ryan. That's who I'm talking to. It's what's happening. But that's one of the ways that they're trying to make you feel bad for talking about the son of the former vice president pimping out his dad's seat, because that's what happened. So there, that's, and then we have this New York Times piece that came up too. There, the media, and this media dad was so, this media headline was so dumb. The narrative is, and they were trying to say that there were newsroom doubts, and they keep saying that it's unverified, but did this stop the same publication from running with edited CIA emails and all that Lanny Davis garbage? Oh, yeah. I mean, you want to have a discussion about unverified? You had a guy who planted stories, maybe on behalf of Fusion GPS, maybe not. We just don't know. And then he was like, hey, CNN, I planted these stories over at the New York Times. What's up? And then they go, hey, let's put you on television. I mean, it wasn't exactly like this, but this is how it went. They're like, yeah, we're going to put you on television and we're going to talk about a source's stories at the New York Times. We just won't mention that you're the source. And then it turned out to be all garbage. And Lanny Davis looked like a fool again. Like, well, just, or normal. He looked normal. And the New York Times, again, had egg on its face. This is the, whatever they can do to bail out Hunter Biden. So, as I said, the president is doing five rallies a day. I don't know how he is doing this. So I saw a piece, and you're going to see a lot of, I think you're going to see a lot of stuff that's going to try to quell your enthusiasm. Because I went and voted on Friday. And it took me about, what, maybe 30 minutes to vote? 25, 30 minutes? Wasn't that bad. Well, that's because we have multiple polling locations. By the way, if you're mad as to how your elections are run, particularly if you're in a Democrat-controlled area, then get mad at the Democrats because they're the ones who determine your polling locations. They're the ones who determine the apparatuses that you use to vote with. They're the ones who make all of these determinations. They're the ones who set up the polling places, who make the determinations on the number of machines and ballots and poll workers and everything else. So they are the people who run this. It's not Donald Trump. There's no boogeyman who's waiting out in the bushes going to steal your vote. That's not going to happen. No one's out there waiting to hide and get you. Stop. This happens every in St. Louis City. They always get mad. Can you believe this? Right. The line? Who do you think runs St. Louis City? Who do you keep voting for? Gosh. Critical thinking. So fun. So, this is the latest polling numbers. I'm looking at Battleground. I'm looking at enthusiasm. It showed that Trump is having a problem with white voters in certain suburban districts. But I thought everyone was racist, though. Wait a minute. Or is this a result of the media telling everyone they're racist? Which I would hate to think people are that weak. But we have people who are that weak, right? True. I mean, there are people who, hell, they still shop at Hot Topic. So, you know, I mean, it is what it is. Still have them? Still, I think they do. I don't know. Are malls around anymore? I don't like to leave my house. I just make a wish for a product, and then I, like, wait by my door. That's what I do. Just slightly joking. So, looking at some of the averages, the average, the RCP national average has Biden up, and in the top battlegrounds, Biden is barely leading. Now, betting odds, he's leading Trump. He's leading Trump in the betting odds. And I'm looking at some of the battleground states. They're virtually tied in Iowa. Biden's up 6 in Minnesota. He's up almost 7 in Michigan. And these are averages. In Texas, he's up 4. Trump's up 4 in Texas. So Trump has Texas. He's up 4. Biden's plus 5 Nevada. He's actually, so in Arizona, he was up, but that's gone down by a point and a half since last week. So that's where we are. Now in the Senate, I mean, it is close, y'all, because we need to make sure that we retain control of the Senate. So it's very, very close there. I mean, very close. And I don't think we really have any toss up districts. Everything is pretty much either decidedly Republican or lean Republican or lean Democrat or decidedly Democrat. So that's, but it is, I mean, it's close. I'm not going to lie. It's close. Here's the thing. There are a number, I know in 2016 the polls were bad, but and they were garbage. But it was sort of like 2012 all over again with Republicans. But for midterm elections in 2018, though, they weren't wrong. They were actually really close in 2018. So you can't just write off every poll. And if you want to win, you have to look at where your weakest spots are, and you got to zero in on those. And that's what we're looking at here. Favorability. And Republicans have a lot of enthusiasm. Democrats have more enthusiasm than they did with Hillary because they don't have totally a horrible candidate. Trump's, I think Biden's play is to make him look like a weak old man. I know that they run the risk of having it look as though that they have Kamala waiting in the wings to just take over. But I really do think that that's the only defense that they have against Trump, is to make Biden look weak and picked on. Yeah. That is literally the only defense that they have against Trump. It goes against Biden's nature because Biden's a jackwagon. Don't think for one second that this guy ain't. He's like some, you know, very polite, weak old pawpaw. Go back in the day. This guy has been, you know what, urine and vinegar for, you know, however the saying goes. I don't think I can actually say the first part of that on air. But he's been like this since, I mean, forever. Go back and look at him during Clarence Thomas. Go back and look at him during the Reagan years. Hell, go back and look at him just 4 years ago. I think that they're playing this up. I think that they want Joe to look like this because they want, this is the only way that they can beat Trump. You can't have jackwagon versus jackwagon because Trump is more likable. He's funnier. He's just funnier off the cuff. That is a death knell politically to Democrats. So they can't have jackwagon versus jackwagon. They got to have, oh, well, let's go ahead and just float the idea that he's like barely coherent and maybe not really cognitive all the time. Doesn't have cognitive capabilities all the time. Let's float that. That actually works for us. I honestly think that that's the game. That's the strategy. And it worked during the last debate for the most part. I think Trump won on merits, but on optics, yes, Joe Biden interrupted him first, but you got to realize how people play it. You got to realize how it looks. I've been doing this for over 10 years. You and I've gone into lion's den after lion's den. I know how the game is played better than most. You have to look at the optics of it. Joe Biden will fight like a girl. Girls do this stuff under the table, right? It's annoying, but it works in politics. We're going to talk more about this coming up. We're also going to look at the latest, a lot of media bias. There was a huge story as it relates to Gretchen Whitmer, Big Gretch, and the kidnapping. A big, big development that was totally buried. We've got that for you as well. We have a million things. And then the latest with the coronavirus relief bill, we've got that because they're still fighting over it. Of course they are. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you're missing out. Not only do they taste great, but Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than as a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you want. And if you love Super Beet Chews, you'll love their all-new, delicious vitamin D3 chews. Vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. Now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beets chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beets chews at danasbeets.com. That's danasbeets.com. danasbeets.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter @DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook. And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Okay. Neil deGrasse Tyson warns of pre-election day asteroid. Is that a promise? Right. Okay. I don't care. Come and just pop us right in the middle of the planet. I don't even care anymore. It's only a refrigerator sized. It's hurtling towards Earth at 25,000 miles per hour. It may buzz cut us. Blah, blah, blah. I know he's kind of a jerk, but I'm actually not mad. I would just go ahead, hit us, big, sweet meteor of death. This is how you start a fight right here. I'm not even kidding you. This is how you start a fight. An Italian governor, Naples. Naples is like governor person. So the southern region where Naples is. He says that that Halloween is idiotic, and he says it because it's an exported American holiday apparently. And the Campania governor, Vincenzo De Luca, blasted it as, quote, a stupid American extravagance and a, quote, monument to imbecility. And he announced a 10 p.m. curfew in Naples and the surrounding region over the Halloween weekend. And he says that the area's surge in infections comes from younger people. He sounds like a real party, doesn't he? He's just a real party, this guy. And then he was yelling, everyone, how can you be so irresponsible? He's a total Italian Karen. A Karen. That's who he is. And my gosh, this guy. I just feel like going over there and dressing up. Well, they won't let you over there anyway. I think they don't allow Americans in right now. So anyway, a German theme park. This doesn't seem like a good idea. A German theme park is built inside of a nuclear reactor, but there's 40 rides and free food and drinks. Yay. Now, I was a little hesitant until you said the free food and drinks. And I'm like, okay, I'll go. It's all right. And they painted a mountain on the outside of the nuclear reactor as a way to make you think that it's not that. It's called Wunderlin Kalkar, and it's located near the Dutch border, and it was built at the former nuclear plant, SNR 300, in 1985. And it was, like, right after they built this, Chernobyl happened, and so they didn't really get a lot of use out of this place. The most popular ride is the vertical swing ride. It was built right into the power station's cooling tower. So it's like a big, giant nuclear theme park. And the food and drink is included in the ticket price. 300,000 people go here a year. Isn't it unbelievable? Like, what kind of drink? Like, is it like a cocktail? Like, is it a frozen marg? I mean, I might be persuaded. Stick with us.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
There are a couple of things on there that the FBI agents would have to follow up on. They would have to follow up on it to protect people. I don't understand it. And you have a hard drive that is clearly his, and there's no evidence the FBI did any investigation of it. Nor is there any evidence that the FBI did any investigation of an outline, a very detailed outline I gave him of all the evidence in Ukraine back in January. And I gave that at the direction of the Attorney General to a particular U.S. attorney to investigate, and he hasn't done a darn thing.
That's Rudy Giuliani talking about this. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. He brings up a very good point in all of this. What did Christopher Wray know? Why didn't they move on this? How long? I mean, do you honestly think that if they had the hard drive of the president's son in possession, that they, you know, wouldn't have done anything with it? There's a couple of other really weird developments related to this. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. And by the way, you can find me at all of these freaky, creepy places.
Do you have the guts?
Get out of the dark and visit DanaLash.com at DLash on Twitter and Instagram.
Don't forget Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube.
Ah, yes. Also, stream the show there at official Dana Lash on Facebook and simulcast via the first, channel 244 on Pluto TV.
You sound like the Count, man. I know. That's nice. Is that Steve laughing?
No, that's Rachel.
That's Rachel? Oh my gosh. Nice. Can we have that as like our everyday, just like a part of our everyday essential daily for all the time? No, I mean like even after Halloween.
Even after?
Yeah, that's like an everyday thing, I think. I'm just saying, you know. So you can find me out there. Thank you guys. That was very nice. I like that. That's like totally fills like the crave. It does. There was a story that I saw. We're discussing this. And I thought Rudy Giuliani asked a very good question about this. Why didn't they had this laptop the entire time. Why didn't they like look at it? Or why didn't they do anything with it? Because this repair guy, he like told the Senate panel that Hunter Biden just left his laptop, like forgot about it. And you remember how last week I was saying that there was a lot of reporting starting to bubble up, that there were some very questionable things on this? All right, so one outlet reported, it's Western Journal, pulling this piece up. They did a story on the investigation because a screenshot came out. And this screenshot, it was published last week. And a lot of people, I think, and I did too. I mean, when I was looking at it, somebody has a signature on it. It was an FBI report. There was a lot of information that was redacted. And it was a signature that bled through from the backside of a December federal court subpoena. Now, a picture of the subpoena that was issued by the FBI to seize the laptop and hard drive had a lot of stuff redacted. But there was a signature that could be made out. And there's a lot of different people wondering if this signature, because it looks like it's Joshua Wilson's signature. Joshua Wilson is an FBI special agent, and he's not just any special agent. The Western Journal said in 2012, there was a piece in Star Ledger, a New Jersey newspaper. They said that he's, quote, an FBI agent based in New Jersey who has spent nearly 5 years working full-time on child pornography. And there was a criminal complaint from 2012 that includes Wilson's signature that looks like an exact match as to what was found in the December subpoena. And Business Insider, who is not a conservative entity, they can be kind of run middle of the road at times, but they said that Wilson's involved with this laptop investigation. Well, why would that be? Now, I don't know the full scope of why he would be involved, but this is why we have reporting on these issues. This is why we report, okay, this is what's happening with the hard drive. Okay, this looks like this is Joshua Wilson's signature. Why would his signature be on there? And then media entities would do the legwork. But now Twitter's still continuing. They won't allow you to post. At least they're not shutting down accounts anymore. But they're doing everything they can to corporately censor this. Which raises even more questions. I mean, and the guy, John Paul Mac Isaac, they call him Mac. He's the guy who owns the shop that Delaware computer shop. And I don't know if I believe his story about how exactly, I don't know, who knows. But apparently it exists and it's there. And I'm going to pull this up as well. There was a story that came out on Daily Caller that said that one of Hunter Biden's business partners confirmed the authenticity of an email about a deal with a Chinese company. So, and this is an email that's in question, March 13th, 2017, and it shows a business partner of Biden's, they write, discussing the CEFC, China Energy. There was a couple of different Chinese energy companies, and they had involved like these, you know, friendlier people with the Communist Party of China, etc. And they were talking about these different contracts, these different agreements. There was one portion of an email that was published Thursday of last week. And apparently, like, his business partner just like accidentally, inadvertently said, yeah, they're real. Okay. Now, the campaign has not disputed the authenticity of anything so far. And Hunter Biden's, I guess, hiding and painting with straws still. The 50-year-old child who just had a baby. But he's apparently more of a baby than the baby he just had with his Instagram influencer spouse. The 50-year-old. Yeah. So, a lot of questions with this. And they are trying to make, they're trying to suppress this as much as possible, which just makes it look even more suspicious. And then because they try to suppress coverage of it, they try to act like, well, no one's covering it because it's just not legitimate. But, and then they say that if you ask questions about it, you're engaging in conspiratorial gossip. It's a conspiracy theory. That's all it is. But it's not, though. That's the funny thing about this. I mean, we know that Hunter Biden is a complete and total screw up, right? A complete and total screw up. Here you have the new Anthony Weiner of the election cycle here to reign all over another Democrat campaign. I mean, they have an endless stock of these guys. Blank ups. They have an endless stock of these guys. And so it creates a lot of questions because clearly there was some influence trading going on. That's undeniable at this point. And against America's own best interests, our country's best interests, which is not, if you're, you know, number two, top spots in the land, running the free world, that's a compromising position. And don't think for a second that China wouldn't have used all of this to try to emotionally browbeat or control people. I mean, who knows what's on this computer? Apparently, though, China does. They know. This is just crazy. So I'm going to continue keeping an eye out on this. But this is something that Ron Johnson brought up in an interview I have two things that I want to share with you. The first is, I'm going to get to the business partner, but Ron Johnson, he was talking to Maria Bartiromo, and he brought up this question as it relates to what exactly the FBI is looking at. Listen.
Is there a connection here? Should this suggest that there's a child pornography issue here on that laptop?
Well, I think you just made the connection. Again, this is what the FBI, I think, has to come clean about. This isn't a standard investigation where, you know, if the FBI doesn't indict somebody, that everything remains confidential. This is something that, as we were talking about, relates to national security. And if there's criminal activity involved that could be tied to Hunter Biden or his business associates, or even possibly tied back to other members of the Biden family, and as some of these emails indicate, that Joe Biden was fully aware of this. He was taking his 10% cut or requiring 50% from his family member's salary.
Yep. But wait, there's more. This is his former business partner, Bevin Cooney. He's in jail now. But he was giving new emails verifying all these meetings. Check this out.
We have actually been granted access to his account. So we're not looking at printouts. This is not secondhand. We go into his Gmail account with his written approval. He gave us the password. And what those emails show, the 26,000 show, we're working our way through them, is a wide net of using the Biden name, using access to the White House, serving as the pipeline to the administration as a means to help their clients and gain clients. The names that come up in this are the Chinese, the Russians, the Ukrainians, the Kazakhs. It's a veritable United Nations of corruption.
Yeah. And then the New York Times mentioned, this was interesting, Hunter Biden had a $100,000 retainer from MBNA back in 2008. And the Obama team called Biden's relationship with the banks, including Hunter's, quote, one of the most sensitive issues that they examined during vetting. So, and that was when Obama's aides defended that. I remember when this happened because this came up. Hunter Biden came up during the 2008 election. And privately, the story was that the Obama people were just excoriating the Biden people. And Joe Biden and Barack Obama got into an argument about it. And then Obama's aides ended up defending these payments to Biden, and the left never actually reported on it. I remember talking about this. This is like one of the first things I was talking about on air because I started in 2008. And this at the time when Hunter Biden got his job at MBNA, he was 21 years old when he got that job. and it was a six-figure salary. And that was like, they were one of the largest credit companies in the United States. And at the time, Biden was working on legislation to make it impossible for consumers to discharge credit card, their credit card like debt and that in bankruptcies. Huh. Right? Weird. Dude, there's a lot of questions here that are legit. This is shady as all get out. So why can't we ask questions about this? Are we not voters or what? Are we not American citizens that have a right to ask this stuff? If you don't want us to ask these questions of you, then don't run for office. It's quite simple. No one's making you run for office. Y'all are wanting to run for office. Oh, and this is how Joe Biden responds to this. Listen to this. He was asked about this on the campaign trail. He already called a lid today, and apparently he's got a lid going until Thursday. I'm not kidding. We're going to talk. He's not doing any public anything until
the debate.
Not even kidding. We're going to talk about that to come up. That just came out. Listen to this soundbite, though.
Mr. Biden, what is your response to the New York Post story about your son, sir?
I know you'd ask it. I have no response. It's another smear campaign. Right up your alley. Those are questions you always ask.
Okay, so the guy who was asking him that isn't exactly a conservative reporter. And, I mean, that's like a really, he just like gave him a softball. Biden could have easily, but here's the thing. I think he doesn't want to go at it hard because he knows it's compromising. They know that folks, we already know that they were peddling influence. This is indisputable at this point. The question then is to how many places, how many countries, and what all was involved. That's where we are now. This is crazy. We have a lot coming up, including how Biden, is not going to be doing any other public stuff until the debate. Not even kidding. We got that. The Presidential Debate Commission, they've ditched foreign policy. After the Hunter Biden laptop leaks, they've dropped all the foreign policy questions for the debate.
Oh, come on.
I'm not kidding you guys. Come on. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I am now. I am now. I don't trust my government at all. Not even 1%. Not even 1%. I don't trust anybody. Not at all. So congratulations. You guys are like making people more suspicious of the federal government than we were even intended to be by the founders. Great job. Or maybe as the founders were, as much as they were. We're going to discuss that in a lot more on the way as we get moving on here. Kel-Tec is a privately owned family company that has been making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms since 1995. They believe in respect for you and myself and our fellow citizens and the right to bear arms and in the love that we all have for our great country. All innovative Kel-Tec firearms are proudly and quality-made right here in America. Every Kel-Tec employee, regardless of their role, is encouraged to innovate, to find better ways to make things efficiently with quality in mind. The Kel-Tec commitment to innovation and quality and George Kellgren's dedication to the quality of life for each employee truly sets them apart from any firearms manufacturer I've had the pleasure of knowing. The new affordable P17 pistol from Kel-Tec makes range days a lot less expensive and far more fun. It's lightweight, easy to handle, and features a fiber optic front sight and adjustable rear. Affordable at an MSRP of only $199, the P17 gives you a lot more bang for the buck. Check them out at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com.
Catch the latest Dana podcasts, videos, and blog posts at the all-new DanaRadio.com.
How do you think it makes little kids with stutters feel when they see you make a comment like that?
First and foremost, I had no idea that Joe Biden ever suffered from a stutter. I think what we see on stage with Joe Biden, Jake, is very clearly a cognitive decline. Okay. That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
It's so amazing. It's so amazing to me
and try and figure out an answer.
A cognitive decline.
Well, you're trying to tell me that what I was suggesting was
I think that you were mocking his stutter.
Oh my gosh, when did he have one? What is this?
He had it when he graduated the top of his class, I think.
That's not a stutter, though. People go, it's no secret that he struggled with this throughout his life. Apparently it has been.
Yeah, I didn't know.
When was this? He doesn't stutter.
Remember that
he just forgets where he is and what he's saying. That's not what a stutter is.
That's absolutely true. And remember when he was at the pool talking about corn pop and all that? I think in that story, in the beginning of it, I think he mentioned that he had a stutter as a kid in that story. But again, where's the... We don't have any proof of it.
And I don't know that anyone mocked a stutter.
No.
We've talked about how he can't seem to stay on focus when he's telling a story and just like wanders off into the wilderness with it.
Cognitive decline. That's what Laura was saying.
Yeah, that's very different. Oh, and the people who get all upset. Oh, so it's cognitive decline. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Did you seriously just try to use a stutter as a way to prevent criticism and question someone's ability to stay on point whenever they have a discussion? Because that seems like you're using an actual medical or an actual issue to deflect criticism from a presidential candidate, which is incredibly gross. Stop being gross. Just quit. That's grody. Don't be grody. That's going to be the thing going into 2021. Don't be grody. Ooh, can we do that? Like, have that. We need to have that, like, for the first. Let's tell the first people so that they can make a star, a shooting star and a rainbow. And in 2021, don't be grody. We have a lot more coming up. Why is Joe Biden not interacting with the public at all until the debate? We'll discuss. Stick with us. This November, we must take a stand. Now is the time to stand for what you believe in, for what makes America great, and for truth and freedom. With Patriot Mobile, you can take that stand with America's only Christian conservative wireless company. From now until November 7th, switch to Patriot Mobile with their Stand Up for Freedom promotion. Get a free Samsung A11 phone with 2-year commitment, free Premier activation, and a free gift. Patriot Mobile takes a stand with a portion of every dollar going to support organizations that simply support the Constitution and your values. At 972 Patriot or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for a free Samsung A11 phone, free Premier activation, and a free gift. Or get a free month of service and $45 off any phone in stock. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972 Patriot. Stand up for freedom now with Patriot Mobile. That's 972 Patriot. Patriot Mobile, our plans, your freedom.
Yeah, I know it is, Bernie. This guy who was fixing it as a layman, he opened it up finally after hearing all this stuff on television, and he basically said, I wanted to vomit. I was sick.
I'm just saying, there's some of the stuff that's out there that's real creeptastic. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Dana Loesch, and we're starting out this week together. It is so good to be with you. Where are all my sane people at? What? Go and sign up for the newsletter. I got some stuff coming out. Okay, so first things first, got a lot of info that I've saved up for you. In fact, there's some things I actually didn't get into that I'm going to have to go back and bring forward. First up, Biden called a lid. Obviously, on the day. He did that at like 9-something this morning. But he's also not going to be doing anything publicly until the debate. That's what's being reported. I'm just the messenger. I don't know why. I'm just telling you. I'm looking at the latest. And that's... excuse me. I have seriously crazy allergies. But yeah, that's the... There you go. That's what we know. That's this idea that all this other information is coming out about this laptop, and you have Ron Johnson who is asking why, friends, and the reason that everyone's asking this is this one report that's going around. Western Journal wrote about it. Others did too. FBI Special Agent Joshua Wilson's signature is in some of the screenshots of this one report of this subpoena that's out there. And he's worked on child pornography cases. So I'm not just saying. His signature is apparently visible in some of these screenshots. So we know there's some things that are coming to light about this. I mentioned this last week because the computer repair guy, who was the one who actually called the FBI to give the laptop over. And he's done that before. And there are stories of these guys doing this before in instances where they find some pretty disgusting illegal stuff happening that is saved on these hard drives. So I don't know if that's what happened in this case, but there are a lot of things that are coming together to make this a big giant stew of gross. I don't know how else to put it. That's just what it is. But you can't ask any questions about it, apparently, because you're just out to get Joe Biden somehow. Audio soundbite 24. He was asked about this again on the campaign trail, comes out, and a reporter who is not a conservative reporter asks him about this, and this was the answer.
And Mr. Biden, what is your response to the New York Post story about your son, sir?
I know you'd ask it. I have no response. It's another smear campaign. Right up your alley. Those are questions you always ask.
Yeah, well, I know it's right up your alley. I knew you'd ask that. Well, because it's in the news.
Smear campaign?
It's in the news is why. Yeah, so no public Biden events on the campaign schedule until Thursday when the final debate is held. That comes from National Journal, which is a lefty publication.
All of Thursday he won't even be talking to the press until after the debate.
Some guy was telling me that he's preparing for the debate. Okay, but I'm confused. Can he not answer questions with answers that he's prepared for? Because it's all the same stuff. That doesn't make any sense. Meanwhile, Trump's having 5 rallies a day and traveling, and still, even when he had the coronavirus, he was still doing stuff. So this goes into my next point. I was having, actually my husband was talking to someone that we've known for a long time who's very steeped in politics. And I'm not going to say anybody's name or anything like that because I'm very kitchen cabinet about stuff, but... And I do not like having a fatalist approach to stuff. There's a difference in having that kind of perspective and then being a cynic. I am a cynical. When I meet people, I don't trust them. Trust develops. I'm always cynical, and I just assume the worst in absolutely everything so I can be pleasantly surprised when it's mediocre. So my husband was having a conversation with this individual that we've known for a number of years. And we know a lot of individuals that this person works with. This person's very involved in politics, has run a lot of different things, and is you could say, is an operative. And our friend was being very, very fatalistic in their interpretations of what they were seeing nationally, to the point where I was like, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And was countering, I don't like being put in the position where I am the optimist, because that is just not my thing. It is weird to me. I feel uncomfortable. It's awkward. Not my thing. I'm the Ally Sheedy of the group. Okay? Like, again, think of, what was the movie? The John Hughes movie.
Breakfast Club.
Yeah. I'm the Ally Sheedy of the Breakfast Club. Don't be making me feel like, you know, the Molly Ringwald of the group, because I'm not. I'm the Ally Sheedy of the group. And our friend was trying to say that they were worried about the polls, and they were worried that we're not only going to lose the White House, but we're going to lose the Senate. Now, the Senate's getting close. I'm not going to lie to you. It's tough. I'm being straight, no chaser with you. Georgia, though, that's, you got Dave Perdue, who's got plus one there. I'm looking at a number of different seats. Cornyn is almost plus eight in Texas. This is the average. Colorado's leaning Dem. South Carolina, they're calling South Carolina officially toss up, y'all. This is the RCP average. RCP average. Who's in South Carolina, Kane? No, South Carolina. Oh, my gosh. Sassy Graham.
Oh, that's right.
That's Sassy Graham's race. Now, Cook Political changed 3 ratings towards Democrats, and they're giving them the edge for Senate control. That's what they're doing. Now, you know, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at, specifically right now, I'm focusing on the Senate. And then we'll look at the presidential. But they have been given an edge on this. Cook has changed some of these. They're also looking at a number of different, there's a number of bellwether, they're called bellwether counties that they're looking at. And they're trying to figure out, like Frost Belt, Michigan, Wood County, Ohio, Erie County, Pennsylvania, Sauk County, Wisconsin, Marshall County, Iowa, And when you look in the Sun Belt, Maricopa and Arizona, although Trump was doing, he carried that plus three. And the last that I saw, it's still kind of trending left. He carried it plus three in 2016. Pinellas County, Florida, Peach County, Georgia, New Hanover County, North Carolina, Collin County, Texas. Now, this is Collin County, Texas. Mitt Romney had this by 31 points in 2012. Trump had it plus 17 in 2016. Cruz just barely carried it over Beto O'Rourke, plus six. Now, one of the things that this doesn't take into account is that turnout was very, very depressed during those midterms, too. That's one thing that that is not being taken into account here. And quite frankly, one of the reasons that there was a regime change at the chair level of the Texas Republican Party, and Alan West is now in charge, is because there were a lot of criticisms as to how Republicans were running races in Texas. And a lot of people, I am not saying that I am doing this, but I know a lot of other people who have been who have been involved in operatives in politics longer than the former chair, that was saying that, yeah, a lot of this is because that's how they weren't able to run properly. They weren't able to get out the vote effectively. They weren't able to register effectively. There were a lot of criticisms there. So some infighting. And looking at some of these bellwether, and I don't think that county is going to be a toss up either. And I think it's the Collin County, Texas. I think for Cook to say that is a little bit myopic. So I don't even agree with all of these, particularly in areas where, you know, I know how it's going to be. But Arizona looks like that's going to go. It looks like it could go Democrat. Montana is being considered a toss up. Iowa with Joni Ernst is being considered a toss-up. North Carolina is being considered a toss-up. South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, is being considered a toss-up. Georgia is being considered a toss. This is something that's looking like a toss-up. I'm looking at all these other, and then you have some solid red areas. But you know, I'm just kind of watching the Senate. I'm a little bit concerned, and I told you that. You know, we need to be looking at this, because right now RCP average has it at 47-46 Democrat over Republican. Now, the latest average for presidential polls shows Biden leading. Now, you could look at a number of factors. It's still close, and it's still very close in a lot of these battleground states are incredibly close. But again, I go back to the midterms when they were pretty accurate for the most part. There's also a piece that I have in here, and I'm going to pull this up right now, that as it relates to the one pollster that's actually stating that Trump Trump is actually in the lead, because he is doing incredibly well with Hispanics. He's doing well with Black voters. More so than any other Republican ever has, quite frankly. It's apparently the white suburban people, you know, that I thought the campaign was so racist, but whatever. Those are the people that apparently he's supposed to be struggling the most with. And I'm pulling this up right now because there's one pollster that has been, they were accurate in 2016. And they still say that Trump is they still say that he's gonna win nationally, but it will be close. And they're all right. They're pretty on it with some of their, and I'm just looking at some of the stuff here. Their stuff is kind of reflective of some of what I see with RCP averages, etc. Either way, it's going to be close. It's going to be incredibly close. You cannot take anything for granted. You need to be out there, honestly, doing your part. You need to be out there phone banking. And if there's an outfit going door to door, you need to be doing that. You need to be seeing, does anyone need to go vote? And who can you help to get out the vote? Everybody's got to do their part. It can't be the same damn people every damn election that are pulling the weight for everybody. And that's what it seems like. It's the same people every election that always pull the weight for everybody. Don't let them do that by themselves. So coming up, I want to talk about Joe Biden's ridiculous tax plan, because the media is trying to whitewash this like nothing I've ever seen. They're also trying to set the table for the worst expectations. Pelosi sets a 48-hour deadline for the coronavirus deal. They're going to put the economy in play is what they want to do. We're going to talk about that and a lot more.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So a new report says the Presidential Debate Commission has ditched the foreign policy focus following the Hunter Biden laptop leak. The third presidential debate is supposed to take place this Thursday. It was going to be a foreign policy debate, but after the release of those emails and all of that other stuff in the New York Post, the Presidential Debates Commission announced that it is not going to be a foreign policy debate any longer. And in fact, apparently they're going to focus on the coronavirus, race, and climate change. Not even making this up. Not even making this up. I know. This is a story that was buried. You remember when Big Gretchen Whitmer, the governor there in Michigan, when she was trying to blame the president for the attempted, the planning, the plot against her? Well, apparently, one of them is a big-time Black Lives Matter supporter that was involved in all of this. This is what PJ Media is reporting. One of the conspirators indicted turns out to be an anarchist and a BLM Inc. supporter. So you have a group of anarchists and then one who attended the Black Lives Matter protests and all of that other stuff who was involved in this. That was buried. You didn't hear about that at all. Meanwhile, she continues to say that Trump is encouraging domestic terrorism with rhetoric. Mm-hmm. Comedian Rob Schneider is blasting the governor of California for their Thanksgiving rules. The Democratic governor announced new restrictions about state residents regarding Thanksgiving gatherings. They're literally telling people in California that no more than three household members can gather to celebrate the holiday. And even if they do, they have to do it outdoors wearing masks and socially distance. And then they said that family members can only gather for 2 hours and singing is discouraged. And Rob Schneider flipped his lid, and I would too. Look, I'm not saying, I say this facetiously, but for all the people who sit there and talk about the boog stuff, that's how you get one. I'm just saying, this is how you get it. Just, you know. A school district kicks out kids for distance learning from out of state. This is an upstate New York dad said his kids' school is giving them the boot because they took their virtual classes out of the state. Jeffrey Emmett of Auburn took his three children on vacation to Missouri. They decided to stay at a relative's and rent out his home on Airbnb while his school-aged kids did their remote learning on Zoom. But then the school district sent him an email saying that the kids were no longer entitled to be enrolled after October 23rd since they had no firm date for returning to the state. I'm telling you guys, this is crazy. This is all crazy. And then a Colorado couple, Reason reported this, a Colorado couple had they were going to adopt, but because one of the dad left one of his kids nap in a car while he ran into a store and he was gone for under 20 minutes and it was 40 degrees outside, they said it was child endangerment. Now they can't adopt.
Oh my God.
I'm not even kidding. This is where we're at. Stick with us. Got a lot in store.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Caltech. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Caltech. Visit us at caltechweapons.com.
I go to many churches, and I love going to churches. But this has been my third, and we'll be back many times. I will say that. But both of you, really, the job you do is incredible. And I know you've had a rough time in terms of this city. This has been a tough place, but the job you've done to get people back is really very special.
The president was in church. And you know what? Did you see what all media was doing? Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. I tweeted this out. I'm pulling this up because the camera is just, it was so weird. He's sitting there and who was this that tweeted this? It was The Hill. And the camera zooms in hardcore zooms in. And the president is sitting in at the International Church of Las Vegas. And they zoom in because it's the time for the offering. That's what we non-heathens call it. Right. And he's like, he pulls money out of his pocket and the camera zooms in to see how much money he's going to give. Not even joking you. And he's like looking down. He's trying to be kind of surreptitious about the whole thing, the whole ordeal. He's like, you know, got it down like by his calves, and he's kind of like looking, and he's like folded all up, and he's going to put it in the plate. And it is so insane the way, I mean, they zoom in, then they come over, and he puts it in the bucket, and it is so ridiculous the way that they zoomed in. And then they tweeted it out. Watch. President Trump gives money during services at the International Church of Las Vegas. Look at him give money. Do you watch the way the kid? Do y'all see this? Look on my Twitter timeline if you're not watching on Pluto TV via the first. Because they zoom in on how much money he's got in his hand. And then everyone was freaking out about it. I'm like, guess what? This happens every Sunday, guys. And then someone's like, oh, yeah, people just put a little bit of money in the plate. Actually, most people do the significant donations online, but as a lesson to our kids and to encourage others around us, we also put stuff in the plate. But, you know, maybe you would know that if you was in church on Sunday. Oh, just saying. I just couldn't believe how they zoomed in. Like, how much money is he going to give? All right, so they're going to play the economy. Pelosi says she's going to give Trump 48 hours to agree to her pork demands, and I don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to try to like shut stuff down? I'm not, you know. Oh yeah, they would. She doesn't want a deal. Nancy Pelosi does not want a deal. I really don't believe that she does. She doesn't want one. If they did, then they would have taken. What is it like? There have been three so far that have been proposed. At a minimum, there have been like three of them, but they want the economy to suck because that would hurt Trump. And that's what it's about. It would hurt you too, but people don't care as much about that. They have all kinds of 48 hours or what? Like, what's going to happen? What are you going to do? You're going to take your ball and go home? You had months to work this out. Months. And you said no to everything. Because she wants it. She wants the bailout for horribly run blue states that were in debt before the lockdown, before the pandemic. They were in debt for like 10 years before all this stuff happened. They never ran their business right. And so she wants a bailout for them. And she's trying to act like it's because of the coronavirus. Yeah, okay, you don't get to give the deadlines on this. You don't get to do that. You may run the house, but you don't run the people's wallets. It's not how this works. And it is, I mean, there's a lot of entitlement spending in here. There's a bunch of other pork and everything else. I don't know why you can't just do a straight no chaser coronavirus relief package then. Why can't you just do that bill? Why do you got to include everything else?
We have the audio of her talking about this 48-hour thing with George Stephanopoulos.
Oh my gosh.
I found something pretty interesting in what she said was, she said, we can't leave it up to the states.
Oh,
she
really?
Actually says that.
So much for federalism. I guess that love affair is over. Listen.
No, must. But in addition to that, we have to have a national plan. You cannot leave it up to the states.
So if you don't,
how they're going to address the minority community.
If you don't get that agreement, if you don't get that agreement in the 48-hour deadline, you said, what happens?
Well, here's the thing. The 48 only relates to if we want to get it done before the election, which we do.
Well, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, so which we do. But we're saying to them, we have to freeze the design on some of these things. Are we going with it or not?
She's all over the place. She doesn't want
a deal. She does not want a deal. Not at all. Two things. So they're trying to get, I think Trump needs to avoid at all costs to have a fight with Fauci on this stuff, because here you have the bad. They want to try to pin Trump as not wanting to compromise and give relief to people. Although there are some people out there, there are some Republicans that are concerned. There are some Republicans that do want to just go ahead and give Pelosi what she wants so that they can have the optic of getting this done. And there are some out there that worry that Steve Mnuchin and Trump may do it, because there's a lot of, you know, other there's a lot of other things in there that have nothing to do with actual anything that's related to the virus. I mean, that's just the plain truth of it. And so you're fighting that on one hand. And then on the other hand, the media is desperately trying to get Trump and Fauci to go at it. So there was a 60 Minutes interview. And I think this is just, we're at the point where it's irresponsible. I haven't said anything negative about Fauci. I have not laid into him like other people on radio. And correct me if I'm wrong. All the, you know, Steve Kane, I mean, I have not laid into him at all. No. I have not.
We've pointed out some of the inconsistencies in what he said on the
mask
news.
Thing, right. And I only played his audio on that. And
that's literally it. We've only brought the facts.
But here's where now I think it's legitimate to raise an issue. So he did this interview with 60 Minutes, a very long interview, wide ranging. And it started out good enough where he was asked, you know, why is it early on in the pandemic masks were recommended for healthcare workers? And there was some back and forth about that. But then very quickly, it turned political. And the segue that they used to make that happen was by asking him whether or not he's going to vote in person. And then they take it from there and then they make it political. And this, the guy interviewing him just walks him right through it, walks him right to it. He was asked, were you surprised that that President Trump was sick? And he said, you know, I was worried that he was going to get sick when I saw him in a precarious situation of crowded, no separation between people, etc. And he just walked right through it. Now, he says that his words were taken out of context and stuff. And he went in, he's like, I'm not going to endorse a candidate. I'm not going to do this. He did not like the fact that Trump apparently had his words in a campaign ad. But at the same time, if you think that that was inappropriate, is it not inappropriate then for him to be doing all of this press and answer all of these questions that is beyond the virus? Here's the thing. I appreciate someone's medical expertise on issues, right?
Of course.
Sure. That's one slice of American life. That does not give you the authority to make determinations or to proclaim things that you hope will influence those who do and regulate day-to-day life. And they're trying to make this guy, and I think the way that they're trying to make him this like icon is really demonstrates a desire to not, really there's no desire to remedy the virus and the fallout, but it's further indicative of a desire to make it even more political. And the fact that he sat down and got into the political nature of it, that's inappropriate for Fauci to do. And like I said, I, unlike anybody else in politics, I have not slammed him. I have not gone after him. I have not been mean-spirited. That's inappropriate, though. Here was some of the audio from the 60 Minutes discussion.
Were you surprised that President Trump got sick?
Absolutely not. I was worried that he was going to get sick when I saw him in a completely precarious situation of crowded, no separation between people, and almost nobody wearing a mask. When I saw that on TV, I said, oh my goodness, nothing good can come out of that. That's got to be a problem. And then sure enough, it turned out to be a super spreader event.
A super spreader event. It's not a super spreader event because no one who wasn't there contracted anything. But is that, what about the women's march that took place in DC this weekend? Is that not a super spreader event? There were people shoulder to shoulder without masks there. What about all the other Black Lives Matter protests and then the riots that we saw? Notice that the media never once determined that any of those were super spreader events, despite the fact that there's clear documentation, there's clear evidence that it did contribute to an uptick in virus cases in all of the major areas where all of these events took place, in Houston and in Austin and in everywhere. I mean, there's been an up, in fact, I think there was one, I think Huffington Post was the entity that actually wrote about that. But no, as I said, it is inappropriate for him to engage in this sort of ego stroking. And that's what this is. And I think he's buying into it. I think he's buying into it. It began professionally enough. Trump is a politician, and politicians are going to do different things than medical professionals in a particular position where they have to maintain neutrality because they need to also maintain the respect of the public so that they can better ascertain the situation and also help develop a remedy for it. His sole and only job is about the virus. It is not about voting. It is not about anything else. It is about the virus. It is not about him to make determinations as to how the public at large should behave. The only thing that the government needs to do in this situation is to say, this is how it's spread. And then it is up to you to make determinations as to how you want to remedy this. If that is unsuitable to you as an individual, then you can keep your ass at home. Because I'm done with this. I'm done with people who are trying to, I completely respect someone's expertise. Apparently, this isn't extended to conservative females as it relates to Second Amendment firearm knowledge and case law on guns. But I completely respect someone's medical experience and knowledge in these areas. This does not have anything to do with policy. And the point where it gets political is when he should stop, since he apparently did not stop this from even happening in the first place. It does not do anyone any good to have a medical expert who is supposed to be neutral and in that neutral position assisting whoever is in charge of the government. It does not do anyone any good for that person to go out and himself become a quasi-politician. It actually is antithetical to his job. We have a lot still to come. Stevie Nietz will be joining us a little bit later on as well, so you don't want to miss that. And then, of course, there's a Beach Boy fight. Of course there is. And then the Beastie Boys made me mad. Yeah.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
Why do you think the president is doing so poorly with suburban women?
This is what I hear about. He's not doing poorly. You guys tried this talking point in 2016. You
He's
tried
down
to convince
27
people
points in a recent poll.
Women were going to vote for Hillary Clinton because she was a woman. And we know that women came out and they supported Donald Trump in a very big way. They're not talking to
women,
people out there. We know the polls, Jake.
Laura,
are very
women
wrong
voters. Laura, women.
Donald Trump.
Women voters voted, the majority of them, for Hillary Clinton. Now, white women voters, a majority of them, voted for Donald Trump. And it's so odd to me. It's so odd to me. Well, you just said, well, you said women voters were going to support Hillary Clinton, but they actually voted for Trump. It's so strange to me every time Donald Trump, President Trump, talks about how women voters went for him. It's as if he's only interested in white women voters.
Well, you just said women, though. And she made you walk it back.
Yeah.
So you used a universal, her correcting you. And then you correcting yourself and acting like you're that you're the one who's doing it. That's not how this works. Yeah, that's, oh, I was corrected. Now I'm going to state what actually is correct, maybe. And I'm going to pretend that I'm correcting you. Nope, that's not how it goes. Oh my goodness. There's apparently some new, we'll get to this next hour, but there's apparently some new hot mic audio of Governor Roy Cooper telling Joe Biden that they're going to try to drag Kyle Cunningham across the finish line after his affair with the wife of a combat vet. Oh my gosh, I am made of opinions right now. Oh man, I'm going to have to hold my saucy tongue. Oof. Oh my goodness. Oh. I'm just saying. I know. I got to get into it, but you're going to have an affair on your combat vet husband, which sounds way hotter than Cal Cunningham. He looks like a potato. Go. Florida man. I'm not going to come back from that.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida man.
It always is. All right. So first step here. I got to actually get to it because I was too busy trying not to talk smack. A Florida man is accused of stalking a Trump supporter, calls them Nazis. This is Volusia County, Florida. This man is not happy with this woman hanging a Trump flag outside on her own personal property of her home. The victim told deputies that on Wednesday she heard a man honking his horn, yelling outside of her residence. When she looked at her Ring doorbell camera, she saw a dude in front of her house screaming, "Blank, you Nazi mother blankers." The woman, because the man would not leave, says she exchanged words with a man identified as 56-year-old Thomas Frost. And he does look like a D-bag. And she contacted authorities. Frost spread away when she did that. But then Frost returned and continued trying to harass the woman. When a deputy tried to stop him, he sped away. And then finally, he decided to contact authorities to turn himself in. But then he goes, well, why am I being arrested with all the things going on in the world? Maybe because you're a psycho who was trying to harass a woman at her home because you didn't like her flag, you complete and utter creep. And so then he decided to try to defend himself he knew that they were Trump supporters and they are all Nazis and ruining this country. So he's charged with stalking and fleeing and eluding the police. Don't be like Thomas Frost. Good night. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store, folks.
It's the Dana Show.
Bill O'Reilly here. The presidential election just weeks away. As you know, more than ever, folks need real analysis and honest facts, not speculation and partisan reporting. The traditional news and cable networks feed you biased coverage and skewed analysis 24 hours a day. The pundits parade around trying to score cheap shots, and the big media companies silence anyone who disagrees with them. Do you want Facebook or Twitter deciding what you see and hear? All that stops now with me, Bill O'Reilly, and my free podcast. Don't waste another minute of your time on the dishonest networks peddling fake news. Now you can listen to the O'Reilly Update and excerpts from my nightly no-spin news free. Search Bill O'Reilly wherever you listen to podcasts and be sure to subscribe. Like you, I'm tired of the dishonest media. It's corrupt. Search Bill O'Reilly wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe now.
But she seems like she's on a path to confirmation right now. Is this a done deal, or is there still something Democrats can do to stop it?
Well, we'll see. I'm not in the Senate. What I'm talking about is how we win this election, because we have to offset whatever a court, whatever the outcome of this, whatever this court may do.
But what about the quiver, the arrows in your quiver, though? I don't want to hear a quiver with, like, certain people. No. You know, I just, thank you. No. That's a word I don't like. You know how some of you hate moist?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Oh, gosh, both of you had a visceral reaction.
I hate that word.
Moist?
Yeah.
Oh.
Unless it pertains to cake. Then everything else is just not appropriate.
It's barely appropriate with cake. Let's be real. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Here's where you can find me.
Do you have the guts?
Get out of the dark and visit danalash.com at DLash on Twitter and Instagram.
Don't forget Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube.
Ah, yes. Also, stream the show there at official Dana Lash on Facebook and simulcast via the first, channel 244 on Pluto TV.
That's actually really good, guys. I mean, I'm pretty impressed. That's Rachel and Kane that did that. Rachel may have to do my voicemail messages now. Thank you. All right. So lots of stuff, guys, lots of stuff to discuss. Where to even start? Because we've got a lot that's been on the plate, because we have the debate that's coming up on Thursday, the Supreme Court vote, the confirmation vote for Amy Barrett on Thursday also. And Pelosi is holding out for blue state bailouts and entitlement spending. So lots of stuff there. Lots of stuff. We got Stephen Yeats coming up here in a little bit, too. And, one thing. Let me just roll through some stuff that I want to make sure we hit before we move on. There is an old man fight. Variety just wants you to know. Brian Wilson is mad because the Beach Boys did a benefit in California. And then the people who hate Trump say it's just Mike Love's play band. And it's not actually the Beach Boys. So, I don't know. Who cares? Just stop it. Okay? Just stop. They're mad. They're all mad. And it's not just them. This is one I was like really disappointed to see this. Because, you know, I'm a fan, right? This whole situation. I'm pulling stuff. I lost this piece. Where did I lose this at? The situation with the Beastie Boys. So, the Beastie Boys, for the first time, and they're really like making a big deal out of it. They are allowing the license of one of their licensing one of their songs for Joe Biden to use. And it's sabotage. That's what they're doing. They're licensing that song for him to use because they're mad at Trump. And they're saying that he's killing live music and has killed, I guess, live music venues related to that because of the lockdown. You seem confused, Kane. I mean,
Trump's been nothing but a champion to get this country back open. And he's doing rallies. He's doing all this. He's supported the UFC in what they were doing. Trump wants to get this country back on track. There's nothing he's doing on a voluntary or involuntary basis that's here designed to hurt America. I don't get what they're coming.
Who were the people that were demanding everything be shut down in the first place?
Trump.
That's what I don't get. I'm like, who were the people that chose that? Because it wasn't Trump. I mean, for the people, I can't tell you how I have this listed in my rundown. These redacted morons did this. To unredacted, believable. It's so ridiculous. They say that it's a live music shutdown, and they're using it for a spot for the Joe Biden campaign. And the commercials that were at the Sunday Steelers Browns game, and they said that it was about how coronavirus shutdowns have decimated the live music industry, says Variety. And the ad focused on a club in Ann Arbor, Michigan, the Blind Pig. It's closed after a 50-year run as the pillar of the community, and the owner blames Donald Trump. The owner blames Donald Trump. Do you people understand how your damn government works? Oh my gosh. Like, let's just shove everything else out of the way for this segment, because here we go. I think it's great that you're able to run a business, but I don't know how someone is able to run a business and breathe and walk at the same time when they clearly don't know how their government runs. Who runs Michigan? Oh, Governor Donald Trump too? Is that your answer? Because the last I checked, it was Big Gretch. You know, the people that the anarchists and Black Lives Matter folks were trying to kidnap, and then she turned around and blamed it on Trump supporters, right? Yeah. So it's a club in a Democrat state where the Democrat governor wanted a Democrat lockdown, and this guy's mad at Trump? Name that song.
It's a bunch of malarkey.
I know. Joe didn't realize he just agreed with me just then. And so they said that the guy who runs, and it sucks that his restaurant shut down. This isn't Trump, though. He goes, this is the reality of Trump's coronavirus response. I don't know how I can. He didn't shut your club down, you moron. He didn't shut your club down. Big Gretch did. Does this guy think that Gretchen Whitmer is just Trump and drag? I don't understand. That's the only way that this makes sense.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Jiminy. Right? You realize that we have things called governors and mayors and city councils, and that a lot of this lockdown stuff actually came at you from a local level because there is not a national lockdown. Do you realize this? There is not a national lockdown. My question to all these people, and I ask the same damn thing every time, and not a single one of these people can ever answer me. I'm like, oh, what would you have done differently from POTUS? And then they'll say something that he did. I'm like, yeah, he actually did that. Oh, you mean you think that he didn't get ventilators done? He actually had to like remove a bunch of your BS Democrat red tape in order to get these things made quicker. He actually had to remove a bunch of your BS Democrat. Oh, I ran it down. Would you like me to eat your soul with receipts? Because we'll go all the way back to when this was actually codified. Want to?
Yeah,
oh my gosh. I'm like, he removed a lot of the red tape that prevented CDC and FDA and all these other agencies, the alphabet agencies, they wouldn't allow private labs to process tests so that more people could get tested in the early days. He had to eliminate those restrictions, eliminate a bunch of other restrictions, and got all these companies to start manufacturing all this stuff. And then you had Andrew Cuomo when he wasn't killing elderly people. He was out there going, I don't have any ventilators. Hey, I don't got any ventilators. And then he was asked by a reporter in a video interview that we played ad nauseum on this show, well, isn't there a big giant warehouse where you have like a frillion ventilators in there? Why are you stockpiling them? And then Cuomo's like, we're not stockpiling them, but we are keeping all these ventilators in there. Turns out they weren't running short on ventilators at all. Turns out they didn't need USS Comfort at all. Out of all of the beds, they only used, what, 7% of them? So it had nothing to do with Trump. It was because this guy... Okay, couldn't run his state. Big Gretch can't run her state. She's too busy making up stories about people from her own side actually targeting her. A Black Lives Matter supporter and anarchists, seriously, who are all over the internet criticizing Trump. But, you know, Black Lives Matter people take their orders from Trump, apparently. Pick a narrative. And then you have these blockheads out here, and it hurts me because I like them. And I'm still going to like their music, even though I think they're stupid on this. It's so dumb. No, that's your state. That's how your state runs. That's how your state runs. Quit being so damn partisan. Yeah, it sucks. This guy had his club shut down. He's apparently the only guy in the world who had his club shut down. Everybody else did too. Everybody else who had a live music venue got shut down. Austin, live music town, shut down. Nashville, live music town, shut down. Then they were lying about coronavirus numbers originated in bars so they could continue mandating a shutdown. Guess who that wasn't? It wasn't Trump. It was a bunch of Democrat locally elected people, because that's how elections work. You elect your governor. You elect your mayor. You elect your city council. And all of these decisions that impact you at that local level are made where? Locally. At the local level. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. At the local level. And then, well, it's Trump's fault. I mean, that's like, no.
It is wrong. It's got to end. It is dangerous, not just for me and my family, but for public servants everywhere who are doing their jobs and trying to protect their fellow Americans.
Yeah, quit lying about us, Gretch.
People of goodwill on both sides of the aisle need to step up and call this out and bring the heat down.
Oh, like heat? What do you mean? Sounds kind of like a threat there. All I know is she was accusing everybody else of what actual anarchists and Black Lives Matter supporters now are in reading and all the paperwork with the indictment, what they actually did. Yeah, so that makes me mad with that story with the Beastie Boys. You know, oh, we're going to, and they did it just for that one commercial that nobody, because nobody's watching football, so nobody watched it. But still, you know, it's just that it's the principle of it. I am mad at Donald Trump because of the Democrats I elected. The things that they chose to do in my state and in my town. I'm mad at Donald Trump for those Democrats I elected. Did Donald Trump make you vote for those Democrats? No. Do you understand that all these lockdowns and everything else that were taking place, it didn't originate from a national level? Apparently, I don't understand that. Oh, okay. Why are you talking? Oh, get mad. I've already been there. And then you have Newsom limits gatherings to 3 families. No, we're having a mostly peaceful riot around some turkey. Thank you very much. Step off. Welcome to our mostly peaceful riot involving some turkey and stovetop. I can't wait at my mostly peaceful Thanksgiving riot to serve the canned cranberry. We have this fight every year. It is a fight we have every year. You can go ahead and you can make your from scratch cranberry, but if you ain't got that cranberry that's from the can with the lines on it on a bed of lettuce to make it look fancier, then are you even really having a mostly peaceful protest on Thanksgiving correctly? I don't think so. Just the way it is, y'all. Facts. Facts. F-A-C-K-S. Facts. That's what those are. I know we're supposed to get going, but I really don't want to. And here's why. DanaLash.com, Joe Biden does want to take your guns. I got mad at Dave Bautista because he was like, no, he doesn't want to take your guns. So I had literally Fisked. Remember when that came up, by the way, the Fisk thing during the Supreme Court hearings, and they were discussing the word Fisk? And remember when the media flipped out on me because they're partially illiterate and they did not know where that word originated when I used it in a commercial, and they lost their ever-loving minds and because they're ridiculous? Remember that? And then it came up during the Supreme Court hearing again. You're welcome, America. So the and I've gotten into this. You can go to DanaLash.com because, yes, Joe Biden does want to take your guns. And I also included some helpful information up there for you. For instance, I went into a number of different studies proving that the quote unquote assault weapons ban did not work at all whatsoever. And they're from very different objective sites, including one that was funded by the DOJ under Barack Obama. That was National Criminal Justice Reference Service. And I have it on there, cited page 97, quote, "The impact on gun violence was small at best, too small for any reliable measurement," end quote. I've got that up there. I also discuss how Joe Biden doesn't even himself believe in what he was fighting for, because behind the scenes, he was actually, after in 2012, he was trying to convince Democrats there's no point in fighting anything beyond a background check bill that Joe Manchin and Chuck Schumer had proposed. And I also get into how he wants to not just ban all semi-automatic firearms in existence. He wants to ban revolvers, too, because he said this stupid thing on his website, quote, "Federal law prevents hunters from hunting migratory game birds with more than three shells in their shotgun. That means our federal law does more to protect ducks than children." Not only is this such a myopic, absolutely idiotic statement, but what he's saying is that I guess now we're only supposed to have three rounds. Is that what he's arguing? I mean, let's just, you know. And furthermore, standard capacity magazines, that they're not unconstitutional because it has to hinge on whether or not they're common or uncommon, and they are not uncommon. And that was something recently affirmed by that one. Three, it's going to go to an en banc and it'll still be the same thing. Ninth Circuit Court. It's an unconstitutional proposal. So I fisked the ever-loving H-E double hockey sticks out of that. If you would like to go to danalash.com and look at it. And then I also have, tomorrow I'll go into that, the latest information, the Uniform Crime Report from the first part of 2020. And we'll go into that tomorrow. You're welcome.
It's the Dana Show. And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Oh my gosh, I have so many headlines for you today. All right, so first up, Japan, this seems like a really bad idea. Japan is to release treated Fukushima water into the sea, according to their own media. Japan Today, going to release some of that treated Fukushima water into the sea. As they said, it was a stricken Fukushima nuclear plant in decades-long operation. When did that thing happen? 2011? That's not like decades. Come on. It's like a decade, maybe. This was in 2011. They said that there was 1.23 million tons of wastewater at the facility, and environmental activists were obviously, they very strongly opposed it. So did fishermen and farmers and anyone else who eats anything from that area. They said consumers are going to shun stuff that come from this region, which is true. I mean, would you like to have some delicious fish that swam in this Fukushima water?
Three-eyed tuna?
Three-eyed tuna is tastier than two-eyed tuna. It has one more eye than the two-eyed tuna. The treated water is currently kept in 1,000 huge tanks at the Fukushima site where the react. Maybe they could do like what that German town did, and they literally put a fun park in their nuclear reactor.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, they painted mountains on it. That's not a cooling tower. That's just a fun concrete pillar for some mountains. There's a swing inside. Hey, would you guys want some free food and drinks? Yeah. Stay with us. Stephen Yates coming up.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Are you open to, in principle, a witness exchange so that Republicans can, for instance, call on Hunter Biden?
This isn't like some fantasy football trade, as I said yesterday. This isn't, we'll offer you this if you'll give us that. We'll offer you a witness that is irrelevant and immaterial, who has no relevant testimony, but a witness that will allow us to smear a presidential candidate if you want to get a legitimate witness.
Yeah, remember that flashback audio? That was Schiff saying, no, it's not relevant to call Hunter Biden as an impeachment witness, except now. Look at all of the information that we have about this that's coming out. I've never before seen, I mean, this is how crazy this year is. And first off, welcome back to the show, Dana Lash. I am retweeting Glenn Greenwald. That's never happened. And he made a good point. Can't quite recall a media propaganda campaign this blatant and shameful as journalists unified to call a story Russian disinformation, even though there's no evidence that Russia was involved. And more importantly, nobody denies that the published emails are authentic. Now, this comes on the heels of a bunch of Russian military dudes apparently getting arrested or getting charged with hacking. On this and other issues, let's go to our good friend Stephen Yates at Yates DCIA on Twitter, the DC International Advisory. He is joining us live from his very colorful Minecraft Lego bunker. And it's always good to see you, Stephen. I have got to pick your brain about this because, and I want to get into this narrative that the media is pushing about China's economy, the resurgence of that. But no one has denied anything about this Hunter Biden story. And we do know that at the very least, he was clearly trying to, not just him, but the family, trying to profit from beyond what, you know, he gets in salary, Joe Biden's seat as VP. I mean, this has serious implications because, and apparently there's some like awful stuff on this hard drive that they have this one FBI special agent who deals with child pornography. His signature was apparently on the subpoena. Whether those things are related, I don't know, but it does present an interesting question. But yeah, I mean, I can't believe no one is stopping to say, wow, this guy has lived a life building a lot of information that could be used to blackmail Joe Biden. No one is stopping to ask that question, at least in legacy media. What are your thoughts on all of this and really the national security implications of this?
Well, I'm always blown away by seemingly the clear pattern on the left of absolutely no regard whatsoever for operational security, where you always will have sensitive intelligence leaked to left-leaning outlets. You'll have a leading U.S. senator with a Chinese communist spy on her staff for decades. You'll end up with the family members of a former vice president while he's in office out there about in the world, when any of us who've ever had a security clearance were sworn into any job of even minimal consequence, we're warned about the kinds of things you should and should not do in talking with your family members, bringing up potential concerns or conflicts of interest, any kind of questionable meetings you have or visitors to your home. I got raked over the coal in the past for inviting foreigners to my family's 4th of July, where my youngest uncle would read the Declaration of Independence straight into the face of my British cousins. And so it was, you know, they're mind-boggling levels of security they go through. And yet, for the Biden family, it was all ignored, forgotten, or what have you. And really, they're sitting on the horns of a dilemma. If they want to say this is Russian disinformation, then Hunter Biden is a Russian agent. And so what are you doing with the direct family member of the former vice president as a Russian agent? And so they're making no sense. And the only thing I'm really surprised by is how fast this lie seems to be crumbling.
Yeah, how fast indeed. And of course, the debates commission, they're not going to bring this up at the debate on Thursday at all. That was supposed to be, from what I understand, a foreign policy debate. And they've now jettisoned that. And they're going to be focusing on climate change and racism, Stephen, not this.
Well, it's amazing that you would go through an entire presidential campaign and you would imagine that foreign policy doesn't matter at all. It's breathtaking to me. I mean, the 2000, 2004 elections, 2008 elections, very much foreign policy front and center. You have President Trump literally remaking war and peace in the Middle East, much more on the side of our allies and much more in the direction of peace. But let's not talk about that. And we have the existential challenge of the Communist Party of China in full view. And because Hunter Biden was on the take, oh, we can't talk about that. And so to me, it's a travesty that this got changed. But really, what more can we expect from this completely worthless commission that has changed the rules in the middle of the game all the way through this?
Yeah. One last question on this topic. We're talking with Stephen Yates of DC International Advisory. The question of Christopher Wray's knowledge, because I know the timeline is, there are some different stories as to the timeline as to how long the FBI had it. That to me seems interesting because I can't imagine the FBI being in possession of the son of a vice president, his hard drive, and now the receipt that he signed for it now is out there, and that the photos of the receipt is now making its rounds on social media. How that would not get up to Christopher Wray, who apparently was aware of it, but then they never actually did anything. What is your take on that?
I find it hard to believe that this information didn't circulate upward very, very quickly. Anyone with any brains, once they stumble upon something that is extremely sensitive, like a named individual who conspicuously has the same last name as the president or vice president or a cabinet official, that would immediately go up the chain and would be treated with great concern and sensitivity. You would usually have some kind of warning briefing given to the family about something that would raise kind of security concerns. So obviously normal protocols weren't followed in this. And by all evidence that I can tell, by any journalist that's bothered to talk to the guy who turned this over, he didn't sell his story to the media. He didn't put this information out there. And it's been there. It went all the way through the impeachment process without being leaked or talked about. And so there's no October surprise in this. If the government had just done its job from the get-go, and only thing I can consider is the reasonable explanation is they were warped by the partisanship that led with the Russian hoax and just wouldn't go forward with this.
Yeah, just unbelievable. Now, you had mentioned Trump and everything that's been happening in the Middle East. Just today, he tweeted this afternoon, quote, great news, new government of Sudan, which is making great progress, agreed to pay $335 million to U.S. terror victims and families. Once deposited, I will lift Sudan from the state sponsors of terrorism list. He says, at long last, justice for the American people and a big step for Sudan. Crickets from the media, though, Stephen.
Right. Well, no, really, the fundamentals of the Middle East are changing in amazing ways. When I was in government, we had an activist assistant secretary who wanted to push over the finish line a fake deal with North Korea, which was quickly violated. But in the course of that, North Korea was removed from the state sponsors of terrorism list by doing far less than the government of Sudan is offering now. Now, I'm not one that goes straight to celebration when something like this happens. I think it's a good move. But I'm much more comfortable doing it if an allied government like Israel is comfortable with it. And just it's hard to even get across to people how important it is for the people of Israel to be able to have direct interaction with Arab people around the region. They'll see for their own eyes without the filter of an activist media what's really going on with Israel. And I think it's a much more solid foundation for a peace that can keep America out of forever wars. That's a big, big step in the right direction.
Huge step in the right direction. And we keep getting headline after headline from this. But what, instead of focusing on this, what the media instead does, and I'm pulling up the story that I have here, and I saw this in a couple of different places. It started really becoming a big deal towards the end of last week, but then it began trending on places like Memorandum. They picked it up and it began really getting some traction on Twitter. The media is celebrating what they're saying is the resurgence now of China's economy. They're on their way back. They beat this coronavirus and look, their economy's surging again. It's great. Well, and my husband had made this point too. It's not that China did. They locked people up and rounded people up and physically locked them in their homes to try to do some of this stuff. We have media entities here celebrating a communist country that really launched this whole virus on all of us by, oh, well, their economy's doing great again. They really have this under control. This is bizarre to me, Stephen.
Yeah, we'll talk about information that can't be verified and is meant to manipulate more than to inform. Good on the U.S. media and the social media platforms for promoting this kind of stuff. But for heaven's sake, we can't send free journalists to cover and verify things inside China. We still can't get journalists to go in and independently verify what happened in Wuhan.
Yeah.
To have coverage of this without any kind of reality check on the human and economic toll of the Chinese government's policies is really just malpractice. But the Chinese government has given fantasy statistics on its growth figures for decades. So really, it's kind of a joke that anyone buys that they're growing at this level anyway. But for heaven's sake, yeah, if you have total control, you can shut people in, wipe something out, and build forward from there, and then lie to the world that you're doing great. Good on you.
Yeah. Well, and then the Wall Street Journal reported that China warns that they may detain Americans in response to prosecutions of Chinese scholars as well. Again, that's not getting as much play as all this stuff with their economy. I mean, it really is information warfare here.
It is. And shame on those who've chosen the side that is against freedom, against our way of life, and against believing that America's got a bright future.
Yeah.
I mean, really, they're playing right into the Chinese communist hands. And I thought after 4 years of lecturing, we were not supposed to be echoing the talking points of a hostile foreign government.
Yeah, you would think. It's just, it's really unnerving to see that kind of stuff, to see what, to see some of the headlines that media really uses to go at the administration and people who support the administration. I mean, I don't know. We still have like, what, 2 weeks until the election. It's going to get crazier. Buckle up,
everybody.
Every
problem will be solved after that, though. It'll be a miracle.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm sure. We're all going to be joining you in your Minecraft Lego lockdown room, your bunker. That's where we're all going to be at. Yeah. Good to see you. Stephen Yates at YatesDCIA on Twitter. Always a pleasure, Stephen. Really appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Of course. You too.
Catch the latest Dana podcasts, videos, and blog posts at the all-new DanaRadio.com.
So if you, I'm just going to call it ZoomTube. If you are on social media and you see Zoom phallus trending, and it rhymes with click, but not phallus, don't click it. Don't. Because what happened, you guys remember Jeffrey Toobin? He's on CNN all the time. And didn't he get in trouble because he like had an affair with his friend's daughter?
Yes.
Something gross.
Yes.
So we got to lighten it up. We can't leave you all like with all of this heavy stuff. And then tomorrow we're going to break down Joe Biden's tax plan. So you might want to listen to that. So Jeffrey Toobin, which is what I'm now calling this. It's Toobin. Like, got caught tubing. I'm just... The New Yorker suspended him just now. Just this, like, literally this is happening. Because he was on a Zoom call between members of the New Yorker and a radio station. And he apparently whipped it out.
What?
And he... He goes, quote, I believed I was not visible on Zoom. I thought no one on the Zoom call could see me. I thought I had muted the Zoom video.
Muted the video?
Mute the Zoom.
By the way, if you're going to get undressed at all, why are you doing it in front of a camera that may or may not be
right?
Disabled? It's dumb.
Like, for what in the world? So his email's been disabled. He's not tweeting. He's, you know... He's CNN's chief legal analyst. Analyze this. I mean, he goes, I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake. I thought I was off camera. I apologize to my wife, family, friends, and coworkers. Who immediately gets off camera and is like, guess I'll just get it out? I mean, who?
Tubing.
Don't tubing it. Don't be tubing it on Zoom, okay? Don't be tube. I mean, that's just, it's so bad. It's so bad. So he's... Even his literary agent, they're not taking any calls. It's bad. It's just, and so that's, so if you see that trending on social media, that's why. And I'm just.
I've seen several stories on this, and none of them explain how it happened.
Like, no.
By accident.
Like, how are you doing a Zoom call? And you're like, okay, I'm just going to take it out now.
He's calling it an embarrassingly horrible mistake, but they don't explain how it happened.
I mean, I don't really need to know a lot of information about it.
Right.
It's just gross. It's grody. Don't be. This guy is like constantly getting in trouble with the same anatomical element of his person. Ugh. Right? Like it gets him in trouble again. It got him in trouble with his friend's daughter. Now it gets him in trouble with Zoom. Ugh. Keep it in your pants. Literally keep it in there. Guys with these last names, Toobin, Wiener, all this, just
yeah.
Stop.
Yeah, they're living up to their names.
I'm saying, right? I'm saying. All right, so tomorrow we're going to look at Joe Biden's tax plan. And then apparently people are leaving some very threatening notes on the homes of some Kansas City Trump supporters as like a really messed up get out the vote effort, I guess. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, so don't miss it. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. You know, every now and again, CNN will have... Well, they're talk, and Brian Stelter does that very thing. This is what he said about how America feels about Trump.
Here's the question now, though. Is all the attention, all the airtime for Trump, is it working for him this time around? Or is it now working against him? I'm sure you heard about the ratings for the recent dueling town halls. Trump's town hall aired on three channels, and yet he still was outperformed by Biden, who was on just one channel alone.
Hey.
Now, is that the ultimate sign of Trump fatigue?
Trump fatigue.
Who's that one kid that kind of talks like that on South Park? Jimmy?
Oh, yeah. Is it? No.
I mean, Kyle. I mean, that's a That's a great thing, Stan.
The fatigue is coming from the media. Like, we are tired of the media.
Oh, we are so tired
of the
media.
We are so fatigued in the media.
We are fatigued.
This is their effort shift the fatigue over to Trump when, look, Biden's gone in a lid. Well, he's got a lid on until Thursday after the debate.
Yeah, Biden put a lid on it.
Biden's literally fatigued.
Yeah.
We should be talking about that.
All right. Folks, a lot of stuff for tomorrow. We'll get into it. In the meantime, DanaLash.com. Sign up for that newsletter.
What?
And I might learn the Trump. The dance. Have you seen it? I think I might learn it. It's going to be my new project. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.